Hi, George. It's Bob Baranczyk on Peaks Island, Maine, with a group of wonderful and accomplished people from all over the place, but mostly Maine and Florida.
Well, that kind of brackets the country, doesn't it?
It does. We have a group of probably 15, 16 people, everything from filmmakers to scholars to young people to scientists, all kinds of people. One of the discussions last night was about the loss of civic good, of civic virtue. What is right as opposed to what is expedient? There's a lot of people here who would, I think, be interested in talking to you.
Hi, this is Dan Reardon. And in part of the discussion, a substantial part of the discussion that we had yesterday was centered around the transition from a society that thought about us, about community, and has moved to the me society, and that the issues and those things that we deal with are primarily focused on how they affect me. We referenced a book which you're probably familiar with, The Death of the Common Good, which preceded his first book called The Death of Common Sense. And and one of the conclusions that we talked about in terms of the creative economy, was that until we begin that migration back to a community that is concerned about more in totality, the community itself, rather than the individual interests, that we were going to be in a very difficult place to grow and develop and to build in communities. And I guess we'd like to hear about your thoughts on that.
Oddly enough, I was talking with a friend last night about the very same issue. So I guess that pops into all of our heads. We traced it back to the overemphasis or the deification of business and the move towards money and the material being more important than relationships. And we looked at it from a couple of different perspectives, especially we have some friends from Costa Rica who came, and we spend a lot of time in Costa Rica, and those people make less than half what we do, but they score much happier on measures of happiness. And the reason is that they focus on their quality of their personal life in terms of its connections to other people, whereas we tend to focus, Americans tend to focus on how much money do I have and how important is money to the extent that we even sacrifice our personal connections. And I just I see that permeating our culture to such an extent that here in Pinellas County, a group of businessmen have demanded that our schools adopt a business model in which we train the principals to be CEOs and our students to be customers. And it's just insane to me that you can look at education as a commodity. I mean, it's a relationship. If teachers and students don't share a common relationship, education fails. And I think that view is true about most of the things that we encounter. What's the major criticism right now of business? Well, no customer service. Why would they have customer service if they don't see people as fellow humans on this trip across the planet and instead see us as marks or commodities? And so the term that a friend of ours came up with is commodification of human interaction. And that seems to me to be part or at least a key to understanding what's happening to us as a culture.
Hi, George. This is Amy Blake. Previously, we were just talking about issues of diversity, and Ron Hill had some very good points about not being a melting pot, but being instead a stir fry. I've also heard it referred to as a salad bar, where individual cultures are allowed to retain some of their identities while yet still participating in the greater American culture. And do you feel that as America becomes more and more diverse, perhaps we have the opportunity then to bring in some of these other cultural perspectives towards these kinds of relationships?
Boy, I sure hope so. That's certainly what I would hope to see, that we take what's best in other cultures and share it amongst ourselves. But, you know, sadly, that's, I see a lot of second-generation kids as students at a community college, and an awful lot of them are focused on the bottom line, and they see their past culture as an anchor holding them back rather than as something valuable that they need to preserve. Okay, I'm going to do a quick two-minute discussion of what do we know about human nature from a scientific point of view. And right now, there's a lot of research in the biology of ethics. One of the things that we know is that humans are wired to connect to other humans, and it's part and parcel of who we are. That's the good part. The bad part is that we tend to bond to people who are like us. And as we grow, our culture defines who is like us and who is not like us. And the term that we use is one we borrowed from Immanuel Kant, called the circle of ethical concern. And what it says is everybody inside the circle of ethical concern is like me, and I have to treat them ethically. Everybody outside the circle of ethical concern is the enemy, and I can do anything I want to them. And our different cultures draw that circle at different places. So some people draw it around my family or my race or my gender, my country. The Earth Charter is trying to draw that circle of ethical concern around the entire globe so that we realize that we're all in this together. You know, when people argue about resources, they're arguing with people that they feel have no right to those resources because they belong to me, rather than how do we share these resources so that we can all be successful. And the sad part is, if you're in a conversation about who deserves them, you never get into the conversation about how we can share them.